Good morning, everyone. Welcome to all the visitors, all the guests. It's good to see everybody here on Thanksgiving. It's a, when I retired, I didn't expect a busy lifestyle, but this is a busy weekend for me. I was at a concert late last night, music concert. Here today with this, and then I'm hopping in the car with my daughter tomorrow to drive down to Seattle for another concert tomorrow night, and then I think I'll take the rest of the week and just do absolutely nothing. So it's a busy time, and that's all right. It's good to be busy. You've all heard the expression that we should never judge anyone until we've walked a mile in their shoes, right? You've heard that expression. I heard an adaptation to that, because once you've walked a mile in their shoes, you're a mile away and you've already got their shoes, so all bets are off. Right? I'm not sure that that's a good way of thinking about things. I was not really happy with the title of my message. I'll tell you that right off the top, because in some respects, I'm conflicted. We live in a world that is not necessarily filled with evil, but there is evil in it, right? This is my Father's world. I love that song. You know, God made this world, and there's so much good in it, but there is some bad stuff. That said, I want to welcome you to Thanksgiving 2019. This is a time where we are meant to reflect on the things that affect our lives. Right? We give thanks for the activities that we have. We give thanks for the stuff that we have sometimes. We give thanks for our friends. We give thanks to our family, right? Our friends and family. Somebody mentioned, you know, kindred spirits. You ever think about that word, kindred? Kin and dread. Kindred. Families get together at this time of year. As a matter of fact, in the United States, more families get together over their Thanksgiving than Christmas. So the airlines are busier at Thanksgiving. The sales are better at Thanksgiving. Everything is bigger around Thanksgiving. In the Bible, thanksgiving, giving thanks is mentioned roughly 140 times. So it's clearly something that's important that the Bible stresses that we do, giving thanks, right? Look what it says in Psalm 107. 8 and 9, where David writes, "Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for mankind." Why? Why do we give thanks? "For he satisfies the thirsty and he fills the hungry with good things." We have blessings, so many blessings. Psalm 95, 2 and 3, "Let us come before him," God, "with thanksgiving, and extol him with music and song." And we've done that so far today as we've sung the praises to him, giving thanks, right? Singing those praises is just one small way of us giving thanks. We do this for the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. And certainly for many of us, we have so much to be thankful for, regardless of our age. I can remember when I was a youngster growing up in North Battleford, I was thankful then for all the stuff that I had, right? I had all of my Beatle cards taped to the wall. I had my comics. I had all sorts of stuff. And I was thankful for that. I was thankful that my dad liked to drive the car because we could go on trips whenever we felt like it. He was not averse to driving long distances and then packing us all in the back of the station wagon and driving off again somewhere else. Those are good times. I'm very thankful for that. It's not a bad idea for all of us to keep a list. Sometimes up here, when you get older, sometimes on a piece of paper. Make a list of all the things that you can be thankful for. And don't just wait for Thanksgiving to be thankful for it, right? There's lots that we can look and say to God, thank you. Thank you for that. Now, that said, there are lots of situations where people are maybe not in a position where they can be so grateful or thankful. People who are going through difficulties, challenges, trials, pain, sorrow. Did you catch the intercessory prayer list? There's lots of people who are going through some very difficult times here during Thanksgiving. Pain and sorrow, trials and difficulties don't go away at certain times of the year. It's hard to set aside your pain and be thankful. It's difficult. You know, that old adage about, I was unhappy that I had no shoes until I met a man who had no feet. Right? We don't always think about those things at the time we're going through the difficulty, but it's important, I think, that we do. If you watch the news on any given night, there's homelessness, drug addiction, there's wars. Dan had, you know, talked about what's happening in the Middle East. I don't know a time in my life where there has never been some fighting going on in the Middle East. It's just the way of the world. Cancer, children dying of diseases and sickness. So I wanted to do just something a little bit different, a little bit more challenging in this the next part of this message. Now, and I'm going to try and keep this brief because I know this for a fact, that everyone wants to go downstairs and have lunch. You want to have that turkey that's going on down there. So I'm going to try and keep this brief, but I want to do something a little bit different. And yes, by all means, we should be thankful, and we're going to come back to that. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. But I want to talk about the situation with some people where maybe they are going through things, pain, challenges. What do we say to them as Christians? How do we respond to them? How do we encourage those people who aren't, you know, in the best of spirits? What do we say to them? Right? C.S. Lewis wrote this. He says, pain, whatever kind, insists upon being attended to. God whispers to us in our pleasures. He speaks in our conscience, but he shouts in our pains. Right? It is his megaphone to rouse a deaf world, C.S. Lewis said. So Lewis is saying that pain has a way of getting our attention. Right? If I didn't have pain in my toes, I wouldn't have had to buy new shoes. It gets our attention. We live in a world where things can change drastically overnight. Right? Again, the wars, earthquakes, terrorist events, mass shootings, all of these things go on. But you know what? It's easy to focus on all these things that are happening to us today. It's always been that way. There have always been earthquakes. There have always been wars. There have always been, you know, mass killings of some sort. So it has always been that way. You hear phrases when these things happen, like, "Why? How could God let so many innocent people suffer? You know, why does God allow this to exist?" And people shake their fists, look up, and ask, "Why?" You know, it begs a lot of questions. And I think at this time of year, it's good to think about these things because sometimes our life doesn't always go according to plan. These are fair questions to ask because humanly, when we look at it from a human perspective, it seems unfair that these things should happen, right? But as Christians, again, we need to have some idea, be equipped of why these things happen. So let's begin with a question. Did God create evil? Fair question. Lots of people ask that question, right? It's interesting when you study a person like Albert Einstein. Albert Einstein, one of the smartest men who ever lived, he did believe in a God. when he looked around his studies, the science, you know, there was far too much complexity and detail for this to have happened, he said. He's quoted as saying, God doesn't play dice. So he believed in a God. What he didn't believe is about the God in the Bible. He couldn't reconcile having lived through the Holocaust in World War II. He couldn't reconcile how a God could allow something like that to happen. A personal God who took, you know, an interest in your life. How could he allow that to happen? And he was plagued by the question, how could God allow all that evil to take place? Because the reasoning goes something like this. If God is all good and all powerful, he would not allow evil and suffering to exist in creation. But evil does exist, so therefore, God is not all good, and that's why he tolerates evil, or God is not all powerful because he can't get rid of the evil. That's the conundrum that scientists love to work their way around. They call it a contradiction, but I would question, is that really a contradiction? And for the answer, we can go directly to Scripture. Genesis 1:31. God saw all that he had made, and it was not evil. It was all very good. And the very good part borders on the word perfection. So what God made was good. Right? And he says that over and over again throughout Scriptures. So I think the answer to this first question, in a very brief summary, is that God did not create evil. The absolute goodness of God is the very first principle of Christian thinking. The absolute goodness of God. So if God didn't create it, where did it come from? Because it's here, right? We all experience a little bit of that on a day-to-day basis, whether we like it or not. It just is here. It's funny how when things go wrong, even an atheist, will shake his fist and want to blame somebody, blame God, right? There's this old saying that there are no atheists in foxholes. Right? When I renewed my insurance, I cringe at this every year because they always want to talk about the act of God. And they don't mean good things. They mean the earthquakes, the fire, the water damage, the flooding and everything else. Why do we call those things acts of God, right? We want to attribute some sort of blame there, it seems. I know they don't consciously think of that, but it just silly things I think about. Why do we blame God? We've just seen in Scripture, you know, that he created everything and it was good. The absolute goodness of God is without question. But there's no question as well that the Bible speaks about all kinds of evil. It talks about the world full of sorrow, suffering, and sin. And again, I draw attention to, you know, the things we pray about on a weekly basis, and we all go through. So we always have to ask ourselves, since God is not the author of sin and suffering, where do those things come from? And once again, Scripture tells us, right? We can turn to the Bible, very easily see that a choice was made at the very beginning of creation, a choice that man made listening to Satan to partake of the tree, the one tree that we were not supposed to partake of. And then as a result of that choice, it has spread like a plague throughout the rest of creation. Right? Fallen choices. Think about that for a second. Fallen choices. We live in a creation that has fallen. We are fallen. We are broken. And God has allowed us to continue to make choices along the way. And we'll talk more about that a little bit later on. But God's goodness is in no way affected by the choices that we make, right? Keep that in mind. God's goodness is solid, overarching, not affected by the choices that we make. God is not responsible for any evil in this world. We are. We are by the choices that we make. It is the fall of mankind that has brought evil into the world. And you know, there are many Christians, along with non-Christians, who struggle with this. Struggle with this because fundamentally it is really hard to accept responsibility for your actions. You know, it's much easier to say that the evil that exists in the world is because of them, those people, that government. Blaming somebody else, mankind is very good at. Or as Mr. Trudeau says, people kind. We are a fallen creation. Easier to blame somebody else. So the question is, and I think this is a key point to the story, is God made the world good. Man sinned and brought evil into play. We need to keep that, I think, very clearly identified. Norm Geisler, in his book, When Skeptics Ask, says this: God created the fact of freedom. Right? The fact of freedom. We perform the acts of freedom. He made evil possible. We made evil actual. We brought it about. And the foundational point here, I think, and this is so important that we keep in mind, evil is not a thing, right? Sometimes we think of evil as like a thing that you can put in a box. Evil is not a thing that is created in and of itself. Evil does not exist somewhere. Evil is the result of choices that we make. And if those choices are not made, no evil exists. It's not a thing to be created. So let's go to the next question. Why does God allow us to disobey? You know, God, and I've said this in the past, it would not be hard for God to have made a world where no sin existed and where everything was perfect. That is not beyond God's ability. He could have done that. The fact that he didn't clearly tells us something. We need to learn something from that. He could have created a world where sin didn't exist, but he didn't do that. Because if he did, what would that make us? Robots. Just going through the motions, doing the things perfectly, acceptably, whatever, but no sin. We would be robots with no choice, no free will. But free will is the basis of human dignity, right? We are created in God's image with the ability to choose right from wrong. And that's important. So why does God allow evil to continue? Why not wipe it away? Partially because we as humans need to learn that our choices, our actions, all have consequences. There's a consequence, sometimes a big one, sometimes a little one, to everything we say, do, or whatever. And it's those consequences that help us learn, that shape us, that help us grow, and help our character develop, learning from those consequences. God could, of course, if he chose, wipe away all the evil in the world. But that is not what his ultimate plan was to entail. We fell, he saves. Right? We fell, he saves. So instead, in God's plan, those choices all help us grow. But his ultimate plan was to send his son to pay that ultimate penalty for us. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Christ came and bore the penalty for my sins, for your sins, for all sins of humanity. He paid the ultimate price, suffered a horrible death on the cross, and it was done that way so that we couldn't boast. This wasn't something that I did. Jesus did that. We don't boast about that. So while evil entered into the world by an act of man sinning, salvation entered the world and was given to us by an act of God. I am so thankful for that. Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him, and by his wounds we are healed. Still, that element of suffering is one that plagues us. We hate to see suffering in other humans, in other family members. We don't even like to see suffering in animals. There's something about being human that makes us cringe about suffering. So I ask the question, why would a good and loving God use suffering to make us grow spiritually? And the short answer is not one that everyone likes. The short answer is that God will allow whatever it takes to have us grow spiritually. You know, some people come to faith with an epiphany. That wasn't me. I came to faith over a long, involved process of learning more and more about faith, growing in the faith, and coming to see Jesus as my Savior. For some people, coming to faith involves some sort of windfall. And they and their eyes are opened, and they see that there is something more to life. For some people, it's being taken right to the very bottom and having nowhere else to turn but to Jesus. So it's hard to understand, but humans go through an awful lot with God's intention of ultimately hoping that you choose Jesus. Chuck Colson's analogy, I think, is very pivotal for me. He says that if you break a bone, talking about this question, why do we allow suffering? If you break a bone and the doctor resets it, it hurts, right? So spiritually speaking, we are all basically bags of broken bones. We're fallen. And as God resets our character, it hurts. We have to change. We have to do things differently. And as I say, it hurts. Now, sometimes that suffering, we bring it upon ourselves, but not always. Not always. Look at the story in John 9. Jesus and the apostles are all walking along. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. So here's a classic case of where it's not necessarily something that they did wrong, but suffering befell this man, the blindness. So Jesus healed him, showing that sometimes it's important that we see God's power working around us. Many have written about that aspect of suffering, and countless sermons have been given on it. Augustine made this comment. Augustine was an early church writer. He said, "God judged it better to bring good out of evil than to suffer no evil at all." In other words, God thought it was better for his son, Jesus, our Redeemer, to endure the pain and suffering of the crucifixion and death on the cross than not to have created humans at all. It's all part of a process, a plan that God has that we don't fully understand, we'll never fully understand. But why did he want to do that? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. John 3:16. You know, you ask the question, did God create it? No, God loves us. 110%. He loves us. And that, my friends, is something that we should all be really, really thankful for on Thanksgiving. The fact, you know, be thankful for all those other things. Absolutely. Do it. You know, be happy that we are where we are, that we live where we live, you know, that we have what we have, that we have the family and friends in our lives. Be happy about all those things. But Jesus died for me. So, regardless of our lot in life, we have got so much to be thankful for. So much. Some of us have to look a little harder, though, than others, admittedly. And not every year is going to be easy to be thankful. That's what being human is all about. Philippians 4, 6 and 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, here in this scripture, we're saying, again, the aspect of being thankful is so important. And one of the ways that we can be thankful is by putting our cares at God's feet and saying, you know this more than I. You can fix this. You can deal with this. Strengthen me as we go through this. Someone once said to me, you know, if you don't have any bad days, you won't know what a good day looks like. Right? So it's a given. Again, I can't imagine what it would be like going through life with no bad days. Because you wouldn't know a good day if it hit you. Right? Which seems strange. Sometimes those bad days are of our own making. And sometimes, like the blind guy in John 9, they're not. Time and circumstance. Heard a sermon about this in Edmonton years ago. Time and circumstance happens to everybody. The Christian getting the flat tire on the way to church is not some special trial. It's a flat tire. It happens to everybody, right? Ecclesiastes 9:11. I have seen something else under the sun. The race is not to the swift, or the battle to the strong, nor food come to the wise, or wealth to the brilliant, or favor to the learned. But time and chance happen to them all. So as we go through life and experience life, all those things happen to us, and we can still be thankful for the things that we experience, for what we go through, and we can still be thankful for all those good things that are there. Sometimes, and this is a challenge, sometimes you got to be thankful for the bad things, because if it hadn't been for the bad things that happened in my life over the years, I wouldn't be here today. Good things happen to bad people. Bad things happen to good people. You can't do anything about that. It happens. And if we don't go through the tough times, like I say, you won't recognize the good times. It's balance, right? But and this is a big, big but, we can be thankful because God is in control. He's in control. Right? And just because we don't fully understand how it's being unfolded doesn't diminish his control one tiny bit. He's not staying up late worrying about that. We shouldn't either. We have got so much to be thankful for, so much to be hopeful for here, Thanksgiving 2019. What a great thing. We can be thankful because God loves us and Jesus saved us. What more do we really need to be thankful for? Let's pray. Father in heaven, Almighty God, we are, as we've said, so thankful that you are in our lives. So thankful that you have shown yourself to us. Help open up our eyes, open up our hearts and our minds to the words that you would have us hear. Open up our hearts so that we can come to you, accepting you, knowing that we have just got so much to be thankful for in this life. And we are so grateful for all that you have given us, the blessings that you have showered upon us, all those things that we know about, and Father, all those things that we are hidden from us, that we don't know about. We thank you for that. We're so grateful that you have accepted us in your family, and we are so pleased to be able to be a part of it. We ask for a blessing again on the food that you have provided that we'll partake of downstairs. Make it healthy for us in every possible way, and make us strong as we leave here today. Help us to return next week and to hear more of what you have in store for us. We put all of this now in your mighty hands, Jesus, praying, saying thank you again. Amen.